जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 16, The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan, texts 68 through 72. Text 68. Tanme vidhaya dila prabhu kari alingana, emate vidhaya diva sabha bhakta gana. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Nityananda Prabhu and bade him farewell. He then bade farewell to all the other devotees. We've been reading about how Lord Chaitanya has gathered with the different devotees who have come from Bengal and spent 4 months in Jagannath Puri with him, and now they're preparing to leave, and he's been giving orders to each different section of devotees. But specifically, in the last few weeks, we've been reading about Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Lord Nityananda Prabhu to go back to Bengal and preach. So this is kind of like an orphan text from the last story that now they've embraced and bid him farewell. Text 69. Kulina grami purvavat kaila nivedana rabo agnya kara amara kartavya sadhana. As in the previous year, one of the inhabitants of Kulina Gram submitted a petition to the Lord, saying, My Lord, kindly tell me what my duty is and how I should execute it. Text 70. Prabhu kahe Vaishnav seva nama sankirtan dui kara sikra pabhi sri krishna charan. The Lord replied, You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna, and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Text 71. Tenho kehe ke vaishnava kitanra lakshana, tabe hasi kahe prabhu janitan ramana. That inhabitant of Kulina Grama said, Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are. Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. Krishna nama nirantara yanhara vadane se Vaishnava shreshta bhaja tanhara charane. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava. And your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte Vaishnava who has just learned to chant the holy name of the Lord. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and actually takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called a Madhyama Bhagavat, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the intermediate stage becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee, or an ordinary person, should worship the Madhyama Bhagavat, who is a via medium. In the Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Pranati bhischa bhajantam isham. This means that the Madhyama Adhikari devotees should exchange obeisances between themselves. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyanandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Nalitam Jena Tasmasi Gurave Namaha. This whole purport will discuss basically these two types of devotees, more or less the Madhyama Adhikari, the Madhyama Bhagavat, who is accustomed to chanting the holy names, and his symptoms compared to the neophyte devotee, and in this purport, not so much the Uttama Bhagavat, who is a Nitya Siddha or a liberated devotee, who always chants. Generally, when we think of these three divisions, we kind of just stick them in that three categories, Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. But there are actually subcategories. There's the Kanishta Kanishta, the Madhyama Kanishta, the Uttama Kanishta, the Kanishta Madhyama, the Madhyama Madhyama, the Uttama Madhyama, the Kanishta Uttama, the Madhyama Uttama, and the Uttama Uttama, kind of to give a little more of a feather of how everyone, all the different Vaishnavas, are graded. And we'll read about what the different categories, what are the symptoms of those categories. First of all, this next sentence is pretty important for the rest of the purport. The word nirantara, meaning without cessation, continuously, constantly, is very important in this verse. The word antara means interval. So antar means interval. Nirantar means without interval. The prefix nir before antar means without. So it's without interval. It's kind of like a negative negative. It doesn't have intervals, and therefore it's continuous. It's like a negative definition of continuous is without interval. So the Lord is explaining that that person who has this quality, Krishna Nama Nirantara, who chants the holy name constantly without interval, he should be worshipped. That person is worshipable. Now, the rest of this paragraph will describe what causes intervals, what causes distractions to that process of continuous chanting. If one has a desire other than to perform devotional service, in other words, if someone sometimes engages in devotional service and sometimes strives for sense gratification, his service will be interrupted. A pure devotee, therefore, should have no other desire than to serve Krishna. He should be above fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhilasita sunyam jnana kamadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shiram bhakti uttama. This is the platform of pure devotional service. One should not be motivated by fruitive activity. That means acting for a result or so that one can enjoy the result of their activity. Krishna told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, you have a right to perform your duty, but you don't have the right to the fruit of the activity. This civilization, especially in America and in the West, based on capitalism, is the exact opposite of that. There are people in this culture that think that you should pay them money for sitting down and talking to them. Isn't it? Like a lawyer. If he simply talks with you and shares his knowledge, sometimes $500 an hour to sit and spend some time with you, he's so fruitive. He's thinking, if you come into my space, come into my office, you pay just to come here and talk to me. Now, if he does some work, and obviously his knowledge is valuable, so there is some sense to that, but if we think of the mentality of people, they hardly ever do something for someone else selflessly, simply so the other person will benefit or enjoy the result. It's so ingrained from childhood. You're educated that when you work, you should get the result. This is not what Rupa Goswami is suggesting. Another meaning of anta is the body. The body is an impediment to self-realization because it is always engaged in sense gratification. So again, these are definitions of the word anta, which means that which causes an interval to continuous chanting. So if someone's on the bodily platform of life, trying to enjoy something with the senses, as soon as that consciousness comes into one's mind and they act on it, then obviously their service to the Lord for his pleasure is interrupted to the body. Similarly, antar means money. If money is not used in Krishna's service, it is also an impediment. So again, if someone has some money and they're thinking, I want to enjoy this money, do whatever I'm going to do, that sense of enjoyment with the fruits of one's labor is anti-service to Krishna for his pleasure with my money. Antar also means janata, people in general. The association of ordinary persons may destroy the principles of devotional service. Everybody knows these are the don'ts. And then we'll come to the do's and how to counteract these things. These are descriptions of different things which cause distraction to the continuous chanting of the holy name. Similarly, antar may mean greed. Greed to acquire more money and enjoy more sense gratification. And finally, the word antara may also mean atheistic ideas by which one considers the temple deity to be made of stone or gold, wood or gold. All of these are impediments. In other words, it's not just greed or the body or the money. If someone has a misunderstanding of reality, that will cause an illusion which generates something other than service to Krishna, and one won't be enthused to chant. Because the mind is thinking, God, this is just wood. This is just stone in this particular instance. The temple, the deity in the temple is not material. He is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Similarly, considering the spiritual master, an ordinary human being, Guru Su Naramati, is also an impediment. Nor should one consider a Vaishnava, a member of a particular caste or nation. Now, how many of us kind of look at a devotee and size them up from where they're from and designate who that person is by their material considerations? That mentality causes this same thing. It's antara. It will distract one from actually seeing the pure spirit behind each of us. Nor should a Vaishnava be considered material. Charanamrita should not be considered ordinary drinking water. And the holy name of the Lord should not be considered an ordinary sound vibration. Nor should one look on Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being, for he is the origin of all Vishnu tattvas. Nor should one regard the Supreme Lord as a demigod. Intermingling the spiritual with the material causes one to look on transcendence as material and the mundane as spiritual. This is all due to a poor fund of knowledge. One should not consider Lord Vishnu and things related to him as being different. All this is offensive. In the Bhakti Sandarbha 265, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, the Satsandarbhas, the books by Jiva Goswami, categorize different features of philosophy. And the Bhakti Sandarbha is a whole book on bhakti, on devotion to the Lord, all taken from different scriptures, and examples are given of different types of bhakti, different mixed types of bhakti, pure devotees, different levels of pure devotees, and all the different aspects of bhakti. So in there, regarding chanting, Jiva Goswami says, Namai kam yasya vachi smarana patagatam ityadho deha dravanari ninitaka prasanda shabdena chadasa aparara lakshante prasadyamana tvattesham. The Mayavadis look on Vishnu and Vaishnavas imperfectly due to their point of knowledge, and this is condemned, and this is condemned. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46, the intermediate Vaishnava is described as follows. Isvara tad adineshu bali seshu dvistastu cha prema maitri kripopeksha yat karoti samadhyama. The intermediate Vaishnava has to love God, make friends with devotees, instruct the innocent, and reject jealous people. These are the four functions of the Vaishnava in the intermediate stage. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22.64, Sri Sanatana Goswami is taught, Shadhavan janahai bhakta adhikari uttama madhyama kanishta shraddha anusari. One who is faithful is a proper candidate for devotional service. In terms of one's degree of faith in devotional service, one is a first class, second class, or Vaishnava, devotee Vaishnava. Shastra yukti nahi jani dridasha davan, madhyama adhikari se mahabhagyavan. One who has attained the intermediate stage is not very advanced in shastric knowledge, but he has firm faith in the Lord. Such a person is very fortunate to be situated on the intermediate platform. Rati prema tatram haihe bhakta tanratama. Attraction and love are the ultimate goal of devotional service. The degrees of such attraction of love for God distinguish the different stages of devotion, neophyte, intermediate, and perfection. Attraction and love. So basically, the living entity comes to this material world due to desire. And the functions of material energy are two features. One is the living entity is push. I remember this Sanskrit word because it begins with P, like push. Prakshepatmika, we're forced into this body, forced by a superior energy. If you want it to get out, you can take your own life, but then you don't get a good result. But basically, we're forced into circumstances by a superior energy. Then what happens? Avaranatmika. Material energy is so slimy and slippery and tricky that whatever position the living entity is in, from Brahma down to the tiny microbe, they become satisfied. The conditioned soul becomes satisfied in whatever condition they're put in due to avaranatmika, the covering of the material nature. And the original spiritual identity, the spiritual consciousness, the spiritual attraction for the Lord, which lies dormant, just like the plant lies dormant within the seed. It's covered. When the seed is not in the ground, it can sit on a shelf for hundreds of years, thousands of years, sit in a jar, because nothing excites it to germinate and grow its natural features. It's just a seed. It doesn't do anything. But when it's put in the ground and watered, then something happens from within and it gets agitated and germinates and then starts to grow, and its natural inner character starts to manifest through the process of growth. And that's spiritual life. So what it's saying here is that attraction and love for Krishna, the natural attraction and love that lie dormant in every living entity, is pushed into the material world and covered up, everybody thinks, oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm trying, I'm struggling, but I got this thing that I have to do, which is a distraction. And those different untars that we described are those. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted to chanting the holy names, and by chanting, he's elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and Krishna himself. Thus, the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to the innocent neophytes and stresses the importance of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So it's not just attraction to the form of the Lord or to the culture of Krishna consciousness. The festivals, the clothes, the food, the colors, the smells. It's actually an attraction for Krishna and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that naturally is inherent in the living entity. And as that mirror, the dust on the mirror is there in different degrees, like the worm in the stool obviously has a mountain of dust on the mirror of the actual self. If you take the worm out of the stool, it wants to go back because of our avaranatmika, that covering. No, I'm happy here. Everybody knows the story of Indra and Brahma. Indra had been cursed to become a pig. The living entity that had the post of Indra, the king of heaven, was cursed and became a pig. After some time, Lord Brahma came to bring Indra back to the kingdom of heaven. And he came to this pig and indicated that actually in your previous life you were Lord Indra. Now come back to heaven. Your time in this pig body is up. And the pig said, no. I enjoy it here. Because of avaranatmika, that covering makes whatever. So when we find ourselves in this position where we become complacent in any way, shape, or form, by whatever goes on this material plane, which distracts our continuous appreciation to chant and serve Krishna, that thing should be a little more deeply analyzed. Is this really good for me, or am I just covered up? Thus, the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent neophytes, and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee and the motivated devotee. The motivated devotee and the non-devotee are on the material platform, and they are called Prakriti. The intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. However, he understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform. Actually, none of them are mundane. It's a little bit, it's interesting that this exact same conversation, practically speaking, took place in the previous chapter. The previous chapter described the first time that the devotees from Bengal came from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. And just before they left, the same conversation took place. The same answer was given by the Lord. Listen to these two verses. This is from 15.104. Today we're reading 16.72. So these are two different chapters, two different conversations. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is a mature author. He's not redundant. He doesn't repeat himself. So one may question, why would he do this? Prabhu Kahena Krishna Seva Vaishnava Sevana Nirantara Kara Krishna Nama Sankirtana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to that devotee from Kalinagram, without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas. Now this verse today. Krishna Nama Nirantara Yanhara Vadani Se Vaishnava Shrishta Bhaja Tanhara Charani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas. It's the exact same instruction. Must mean it's important. So this, what is my duty? Chant without cessation. Serve the Lord and his devotees. That's the function of a Vaishnava. Just as Lord Krishna instructed Arjuna on a battlefield, we're often enamored and awed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead sitting on a battlefield instructing his devotee. But here, we have the exact same circumstance in a more relevant circumstance for our day and age. This isn't 5,000 years ago. This is 500 years ago. He specifically advented, Krishna has come in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give human society the process and method by which it can attain perfection and elevate. So this devotee is a householder, he's a businessman, he's got kids, and he's come to Lord Chaitanya and he's saying, what is my duty? And Lord Chaitanya didn't say, renounce everything, go to the forest. Just like he told Arjuna, your duty is to fight. So he's saying here, your duty is take care of the kids, take care of the dog, send them to school, make sure they're good people, make a lot of money, make sure you have plenty in the bank for your retirement. But did he say these things? These are not the instructions. These things have no real value. Everybody has their own circumstance. They've been pushed into it, and they're working in it. By working in that circumstance, by continuously chanting, serving Krishna and his devotees, one can attain perfection. Now this is interesting. Rupa Goswami has feathered this instruction in Nectar of Instruction just a little bit deeper. Krishneti yasya kiritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet panatabhista bhajantam isham surshushaya bhajana vigyam ananyamanya nindarya sunya hridamitsita sangalabhya. This is how to deal with other devotees. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service, and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So, we've pretty much been discussing how, what not to do, what to be aware of with the antars, so that you become nirantara. So I wanted to spend a little bit more time beyond this purport to discuss, okay, we know what not to do, what to be careful about, but how can I actually cultivate this taste for chanting the holy name and hearing about Krishna? What is that process? We know what not to do, what to be aware of and careful for. What is the actual process to develop that interest? Sutta Goswami recommended, Shushu Sho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. Katha ruchi means a taste. How does that inner taste that's lying dormant in every living entity's heart or internal being awaken? Shru 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 shadadanasya vasudeva katha ruchi sian mahat sevaya vipra punya tirtha na sevana. By serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. And by such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, focusing one's attention on serving Srila Prabhupada, is serving Krishna, serving the mission of the Supreme Lord. By that attitude, one attains and gradually an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Another nice one by Rupa Goswami. Said Krishna Namacharitari Sitya Vidya pitopatapyara sanasyana rochikanu kendranandinam kalushaya vajusta svadvikramat bhavachat tadgulamula hanchi. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by jaundice of ignorance cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within the tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So this is the process. The process is to hear. The process is to chant the holy names of the Lord. And one thing that I've noticed in myself and the world is that we've come to a place where we mix the material with the spiritual and the spiritual with the material and kind of think everything's spiritual just because we think it is. But being introspective, why aren't we attracted to chanting more? Those two don't work together. If we're not attracted to chanting more, then we're doing something which is caught, which is one of those untaps, which is one of the distractions to continuous. Tanarapi sunichena, tarorapi sahichena, amanina amanidena, kirtanaya sada hari. Kirtanaya means chanting. Sada means always. Kirtanaya, sada hari. Always chanting the name of Hari. What does, when we reflect on the symptoms, the qualities of what generates that mood, one who thinks himself lower than the straw in the street, who's more tolerant than a tree, who doesn't expect any honor for himself, These qualities are what generate interest in calling out to the Lord. And when one does that sincerely, Krishna reciprocates. What is that one about him in the heart? Shunvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana priyadanta stohya badrani viduno ti suhit satam. Shunvatam svakata Krishna kata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. That the topics of Krishna, the name of Krishna, his qualities, stories about Krishna, they're all punya. They're elevating. They're good for you. They're inspiring. Punya shravana kirtana. Vyadanta stohya badrani. And thus the Lord, being pleased upon the devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the devotee who has developed an urge to hear these messages. Finally, why? Nama chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya rasa vigraha, Purna sudho nitya mukto binatvam nama namino. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Everybody's searching for pleasure. Every living entity, because it's one of those natural qualities within. But what do we do? Due to prakshepatmika and avaranatmika, we search for the pleasure through that pipe that comes to the body, that comes to the mind, which comes to what I think is going to bring me pleasure in this body, or money, or we heard about all those different things. But actually, the liberated devotees actually experience the pleasure of Krishna. When you see Krishna, someone who sees Krishna, think of when you see Krishna's face, his beautiful features. At the end of our study of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya, it's described that toward the end of his life, he really enjoyed hearing Vivi Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita and the poems of Vidyapati, Chandidas and Ramananda Roy's book. So I started reading Krishna Karnamrita, just one verse a day. And this book is a description of Krishna's beauty. And there's one verse where it's described that Krishna's eyes, because they see Radharani, are always increasing in beauty. And when the gopis would see Krishna coming back, when the gopis are looking at Krishna, if you're looking at Krishna, then that becomes a non-stop, like this, without cessation. And it's kind of like ratcheted up. If you take it and push it all the way, push the pedal to the metal all the way, increase that experience of appreciating the beauty of Krishna to its max, you get the verse where the gopis condemn the creator for creating eyelids because it stopped their vision of that beauty. Imagine the scent of it, the beauty, what they're experiencing when they're seeing Krishna. Somebody blinks and it bugs them. Oh, why you do that? You foolish creator. Because you're stopping seeing that beauty of Krishna. So if we actually experience, he's all attractive. That's what the name means. He's the source of all everything. So therefore, he's the source of all beauty, all attractiveness, all pleasure. And if you're connected completely with Krishna, then how? Another one that's beautiful. Bhavimangal Thakur says, let me read the rest of this verse because it relates to it. Krishna's name is non-different. He's the reservoir of pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there's no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Vinat vam nama namina. So Bhavimangal Thakur says, Vijayatam mama vanamaya jivatam. All glories to the life of my word. The Lord, ornamented with proud peacock feathers. So, he says that when I glorify Krishna, because he's non-different than his name and his qualities and his character and these descriptions, he manifests. So why should I worry? Isn't that beautiful? Krishna's non-different than his name. He's non-different than these descriptions. So if I'm glorifying him, he manifests. Why should I worry? Because he's always glorifying Krishna. So why should he worry? Krishna's always there. It's such a beautiful sentiment. He's so connected. He's so experiencing while he's chanting the glories of Krishna, that Krishna is there before him. And that's what we should strive for. All these other things that distract us are actually unwanted. But we give them importance. We give them dedication. So this is the instruction that Lord Chaitanya is describing to these residents of Kulinagram, that chant without cessation, get your prescribed number of rounds, chant on a regulated basis, Krishna Kirtana, what is the one where it says they chanted a particular number of rounds? Sankapurvaka Namagana Natibi. That they chanted a particular number of rounds every day. And what one should experience is that as we chant, if we're doing it properly, if we're following this process, all the shastras describe that one will attain, just like we just read that verse of the jhandas, that as one takes the sugar candy, the liver becomes purified, and the taste for the sugar develops. So as we perform these programs, we should be becoming more and more encouraged and enlivened and enthused and attracted to chanting, to associating with devotees and serving them. And in the course of a lifetime, this can be monitored by increasing your rounds. Why not? if that's the process, if you're chanting 16 rounds, great. Do it for 5-10 years and then increase to 24, 32. And then do that for another 10 or 15 years and then do it again. So that at the end of life, one is completely following this program. It's okay if you're not doing it when you're young, but put the program into place. Have the vision, have the foresight, so that we don't get tossed back into this prakshepatmika, avaranatmika, horrible condition of thinking we're properly situated in this material world. We're not. And there's never going to be happiness. Not possible. And if it is, it's flickering. So, this is Lord Chaitanya's instructions to those devotees before they leave. They're actually leaving his association to go out and preach and go back to their business. They've been with him for 4 months, and now he's saying, this is what you should do. And that will create a proper path. Any questions or comments, reflections? Jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes? Any question, Prabhu?
I'll take a few seconds to form the question.
Okay.
There's a description of the ideal practice. And there are shortfalls on the part of the practitioner described very clearly. And that they have a dual function. One is to scrutinize one's own practice, and the other is to carefully analyze the association with which one chooses. So, do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, very good.
Could you open that up a little bit?
Okay. Pani Bhushana is saying that in the scriptures there are two different aspects. One should be introspective about one's own practice and analyze that as we practice. And one should also perceive and analyze, or at least acknowledge and question one's association. It's always prudent to refrain from offense and negative. Yeah, it's a very fine line. I know where I'm opening it up, like you said, fluff the cotton. But at the same time, it's also recommended by Lord Kapiladeva in his instructions to Devahuti about the symptoms. There are symptoms which manifest, just like Dharma. Prabhupada said salt is salty, sugar is sweet. There are characteristics inherent in devotees according to their situation, their advancement in devotional service, their attraction and love for Krishna. Again, one has to be careful. For example, somebody like Jayananda, in the beginning days of ISKCON, he would take out the garbage, he would clean up. He wasn't one that would think he was a real Shastric kind of Brahmin, advanced Vaishnava. However, whenever one talked with him, he was always talking about Prabhupada, always talking about Krishna. I know some of his friends from Buffalo, New York, who got his Krishna book after he had passed away. And it had all kinds of writing up and down all the pages. He kept meticulous notes on every single page. So it wasn't that Jayananda didn't hear about Krishna and read about Krishna. He just displayed the character of one who did what was necessary at the time. In other words, one's material position in society is irrelevant. But their attraction to and their ability to inspire us to hear and chant and be more attracted to Krishna is what we should look for. Those are the threads, just like on water skiing, you grab the rope and it pulls you along. Or in India they have the tractor, and the guy's on a bicycle and he grabs onto the tractor and the tractor pulls him. All he does is hold on, he doesn't even have to pedal and starts going faster. So if we associate with here, Shushu Shoshadanasya Mahat Seva, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahurvimoktes, Tamo Dwaram Yosita Sangi Sangam. Associate with Mahats, Mahat Sevas, Mahants, Mahabhagavats, you go up, Tamos Yosita Sangi Sangam, associate with sense enjoyers and people who are enjoying this material world, you go down. So these basic qualities, if they inspire us and encourage us and enthuse us in devotional service, seek their association. If they encourage you to enjoy this material world and take it lackadaisically, Hare Krishna, maybe not so much. Literally.
Yeah, and that's a distraction. It may be connected to Krishna somewhere, and everything is somewhere.
Sure.
But it may be a distraction from the essential practice.
Yeah, good point.
So how do we balance in our present
circumstances?
Condition.
When Arjuna asked about lust, which is basically a distraction in any form that the desire for enjoyment, his recommendation was regulate the senses, regulate your involvement in whatever it is that distracts you, because that you can't artificially. We've seen the result of an artificial attempt or premature attempt to just give something up. It causes havoc, sometimes not only in just one person's life, but in a whole family, or even in a temple or a community or whatever it might be. So Krishna is telling, that's why our acharyas, they're like scientists to the sentiments of the heart. And they've recommended that by regulating the senses, by chanting a certain number of rounds, by refraining from the following the four regulative principles, associating with good devotees, then naturally, over time, one has to be patient. Utsahan nistiyad dharyat tat tat karma pavartanat. Enthusiasm, patience, but confidence at the same time. Continuing these practices day after day, week after week, month after month, decade after decade. Gradually, these things happen. One has to understand the science. It's not just going to happen by osmosis, and it doesn't happen quickly. One of the what if anybody can answer this question for me with another answer, I would be so appreciative. What activity can one do to become mature, other than time and patience? Is there any other remedy? Is there any other process to become mature? What can one do? Quick, how can you become mature quickly? Pitadi. Yes, it does say that. A regular attendance in the Bhagavatam.
By associating with one who is mature.
Oh, very nice. Associating. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. and loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, becomes established as an irrevocable fact.
We have to have a little faith after seeking the bona fide spiritual master, just like Dr. Phil was saying, associate with someone who is mature. So after hearing instructions from someone who is mature, this Rupa Goswami's verse again, we have to implement them and have faith and patience that the seed of bhakti.
Yeah, we live Shambhata Krokrabu.
Let me think about Japa. In our private relationship with the Holy Name at that time. It seems like if you're in the house, but we neglect to cry out to the Holy Name with every mantra, then that will really slow us down.
Not going to get the full strength. I had an interesting realization recently. We did a japa seminar a few years ago, and there was actually some question if it was a properly Siddhanta presentation that one should think of Krishna while chanting. And because people were saying, I can think of my seva, I can think of the things I'm going to do, whatever it is. So one day, it was almost a year or two later after, I'm analyzing that verse by the Yamadutas and Yamaraj and Ajamil. And the whole concept of Namabhas, which is a shadow of Sudhana, is that one isn't thinking of Krishna when they're chanting. He's thinking of his son, and he got great benefit from it. So it's recommended, if that's all you can do, okay, wonderful, chant. However, love of God, love of Krishna, the transcendental personality and his name, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes and activities, they are transcendental. So if one is chanting, thinking of what's going on here, wonderful, great, you're chanting. But the taste will be so much different if you're actually thinking and meditating upon that which is transcendental. Isn't that logical? It's not namabhas if you're thinking of Krishna. It's namabhas if you're not thinking of Krishna. That's the very definition of it. If one's thinking, right, jokingly, singing, just for the song, the music. But if one is actually thinking of Krishna, so in that same way, while calling out, it's not if we're thinking of the person and actually trying to relate with him, then he reciprocates, and that taste and that relationship becomes more experienced and palpable. Nice, right. Yes, beautiful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.